Amen. Amen. Let us all say amen. Amen. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Amen. The fact that you and I are here this evening is indicative of the fact that God is a good God. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, I'm so glad to be a Christian. So glad to be a child of God, because I know and understand that God has done for me what I could not do for myself. I want to commend the good brothers who've led us in our devotional for this evening. Haven't they done an outstanding job? We're thankful to Brother Clemens for directing our hearts in prayer. Thankful to Brother Pendergrass for that first selection. And also my former classmate at Southwestern Christian College, Brother Larry Jones, for those beautiful selections. If I remember correctly, I don't think Brother Jones was a song leader back at Southwestern. So I think something got a hold of him. Amen. And we're proud that a good thing, the Lord, of course, has gotten a hold of him, and the Lord is using him in a mighty fashion. Amen. It's good to have all of you present on this evening, especially those who are visiting with us and do not share in our religious convictions. I pray and trust that something will be said during the course of this message to encourage you to consider your relationship with God. It's good to have those who are visiting from our sister congregations. We want you to know that you are our honored guest as well. And I know that I speak for the Hart Street Church family when I say, please do not let this be your last time coming to be with the good people here at the Hart Street Church of Christ. I believe that there are gospel preachers in the audience, and I want to recognize all of them at this time by asking you to stand, if you don't mind. All of the preachers of the gospel, stand. Amen. So we want, all right, wonderful, wonderful. Good to have all of you present on this evening. I noticed that all of them are sitting on this side. Amen. So there must be something special about this right side. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. Good to be here on tonight. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the 19th book in the Old Testament. The 19th, well, that's the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. Psalms. Amen. Psalm 119. And let us notice, if you will, verses 9 through 9 through 16. And just hold your finger there, if you will. Psalm 119, and I want to begin with verse number 9 and end with verse number 16. And if you have it, please let me know by saying amen. Amen. And the word of God reads as follows. Reading from the New American Standard Version, it reads slightly differently, however, the message is the same. Verse 9 says, how can a young man, and I believe that applies to a young woman as well, how can a young man keep his way pure? I believe the King James says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Is that right? Okay, and that's the question, and then it gives the answer. Don't you love the Word of God? It not only poses questions, but it offers answers to those questions. The answer is by keeping it according to what? Your word. Verse 10 says, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against you. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Verse number 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Verse 14,
I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. What a powerful verse there. Don't you know that God's word is so wonderful that it's better than hitting the lottery. Amen. Verse 15, I will meditate upon your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. That verse, that ninth verse is a key verse for us tonight, where the psalmist raises the question, how can a young man cleanse his way or keep his way pure? Okay. By keeping it according to your word. Right. I want to speak tonight on the subject, how to survive in the jungle. Right. How to survive in the jungle. Yes, there's a song on page 2. And if you don't mind, can you help me sing it this evening? And I promise I'll cut my sermon a little short. Is that all right? Amen. How many of you believe that Jesus will roll all burdens away? Amen. Help me this evening. When I should feel so sad, why does my heart feel so glad? Why does my soul feel so happy and gay? When all around me burdens fall, I'm never worried at all. For if I pray, King Jesus will roll all burdens away. All away, King Jesus will roll burdens away. If to him I pray, oh, and he'll open doors for me, doors unable to see. For if I pray, King Jesus will roll all burdens away. Just like a king on his throne, I'm never left all alone. For I have a friend who walks with me each day. Oh, and all that he asks me to do, just keep his word and live true. And if I pray, King Jesus will roll all burdens away. All away. King Jesus will roll all burdens away. If to him I pray, oh, and he'll open doors for me, doors I'm unable to see. And that's why I pray, King Jesus will roll. And that's why I say, King Jesus will roll. And that's why I say, King Jesus will roll all burdens away. Hey. How to survive in the jungle. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, our world is a jungle. A place where two-legged beasts lurk and prowl, seeking to destroy innocent lives. Some of you remember, no doubt, a rap song by Grandmaster Flash in the early 1980s. I'm sure some of the young folk in the audience don't have the foggiest idea who Grandmaster Flash was. You know, they're wrapped up these days in the Snoopy Dogg and Sugar and Pepper and 15 Cents, Iced Tea Lemonade and Kool-Aid and all those people. But back in the day, Brother Davis, there was Grandmaster Flash. Y'all remember that? And he had a song, "It's Like a Jungle Sometimes. It Makes Me Wonder How I Keep From Going Under." Yeah, Brother Larry remembers that song. "It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People messing on the stairs. You know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out. I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junk is in the alley with a baseball bat." Yeah, come on now. "I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, 'cause the man with the tow truck repossessed my car. Now don't push me, 'cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head." Yeah, yeah, y'all remember that. It's like a jungle. Brother Barnard up here, we're going to have to pray for Brother Barnard. He knows this stuff. All right. "It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under." Now, two quick observations about that song. First of all, compared to a lot of rap songs, that song back in the day was pretty clean. Then second of all, this song offered and still offers a vivid description of how many people, especially many black people, actually live and behave. It's like a jungle. It's like a jungle. Think about it. We live in an animalistic society. We live in a jungle-like society. Men are molesting children, and children and women are abducting children. Greedy scam artists are preying on the elderly. Predatory false teachers are misleading innocent souls to eternal destruction. Now I better understand what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, you can help me quote it. He said, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for what? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Then he said, "And what? Many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14 says, "For straight is the gate and what? Narrow is the way that leads unto life." And he says, "How many? Few there be that find it." How in the world will many people end up in eternal destruction and just a few experience and encounter eternal life? The answer is in verse number 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you how? In sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? They are ravenous or grievous wolves." He wasn't talking about four-legged wolves. He was talking about two-legged wolves. So in other words, Jesus was saying, even in our religious world, it's like a jungle. Sometimes the church can become a jungle when animalistic behavior infiltrates our congregations. No wonder the Apostle Peter said that some folk act like dogs and others act like hogs. Just like the dog goes back to his vomit. Am I right about it? And also the hog, after being cleaned up, will go back to wallowing in the mud. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 22. It's like a jungle. Somebody has put it this way. Some folks are like wolves in sheep's clothing, spreading false doctrine. Some folk are like lizards, changing colors with the crowd. Some folks are like bugs who seek darkness because their deeds are evil. Some folks are like buzzards. You don't see them in church unless somebody dies. Some folk are like snails. They have no backbone. Some folk are like pigs, greedy all for themselves. Some folk are like roosters, always cock-a-doodling about something. I'm telling you, it's like a jungle, even in the church. Some folk are like a goat, always butting the other fellow. Some folk are like porcupines, they'll poke you every time. Some folk are like frogs leaping from church to church. Some folk are like gnats, none but pests. Some folk are like geese, fair weather churchgoers. Others are like bumblebees, they'll sting you every time. I'm trying to tell you that sometimes even in the church of Christ, the church of Christ can seem like a jungle. But I made up in my mind a long time ago, regardless of what other all the kinds of animals that exist in the church or animalistic behavior that exist in the church, I made up in my mind that I'm going to stay in the church of Christ, because that's where my hope is and that's where my help is in Christ and in his church. Can you say amen on tonight? How do you survive in the jungle? That's the question tonight. How do you survive in the jungle? I submit to you tonight that in order to survive in the jungle of life, you got to have a GED. That's right, you got to have a GED. And I'm using that GED as an acronym, if you will. The G, of course, represents God. You got, if you're going to survive in the jungle, you got to have, turn to your neighbor and say, you got to have the Lord. You got to have, listen to me, young people. If you're going to survive in this jungle, you got to have God. You have to have God in the center of your life. God must be first. You can't put him on the back burner. God has to be first in your life. He has to be at the center of your life. No wonder the psalmist put it this way. In Psalm 37 in verse number 4, you can help me quote it. He said, delight yourself in who? In the Lord, and he shall what? Give you the what? The desires of your heart. Jesus relayed that same and conveyed that principle even in the New Testament. Matthew 6 and verse 33, you can help me quote it. He said what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness and what? Some of these things? Most of these things? No, all these things shall be what? Added unto you. That lets me know that if I keep God first in my life, God will take care of me, because they say all things. What things are they talking about? Talking about food to eat, clothes to wear, a roof over your head, the basic necessities of life. Young folk, if you want to survive in the jungle, keep God first. You don't have to engage in the underground economy by selling dope and getting, you know, and getting caught up in some illicit activity. Keep God first. Am I right about it? And God will take care of his own. But let me show you something tonight. From our text, we learned that in order to keep God first, you got to stay in his word. You can't keep God first when you don't take this book seriously. Am I right about it? Because that's what the psalmist says in our text. He said, how can a young man or a young woman keep his or her way pure? The answer is by what? By keeping it according to your word. Talking about God's word. If we can paraphrase this verse, he's simply asking, how can a young person survive and thrive in the jungle of life? The answer is he must adhere to God's holy and divine word. No wonder the psalmist says later on in verse 105 of this chapter, he says, thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and what? A lamp unto my path. In other words, God's word gives us that spiritual guidance and that spiritual illumination we need in this dark world in which we live. All you have to do is take a look at Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate role model. Am I right about it? In Matthew chapter 4, can you turn there with me? Matthew chapter 4, you remember after Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. Now, that's a key point there, because Jesus was not a Baptist. As one lady tried to argue with me one time, she said that John the Baptist baptized Jesus, so that made Jesus what John was. But I tried to explain to her that John was not a Baptist. John was the Baptist. That was his occupation. Am I right about it? The Baptist church did not come into existence till around 607 A.D. Are y'all with me this evening? And so the Bible says that after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And then chapter 4 and verse 1 says, then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what?
Tempted
by
the devil.
And the Bible says that he went without food. How many days?
40 days and 40 nights.
And see, the devil knows our weak spots. And so he tried to tempt Jesus. In fact, he tempted Jesus to turn what? To turn stone into bread. But what did Jesus say? It is written. He went to the book. Am I right? He went to the word of God. Jesus knew his Bible. And then later on, the devil tempted him again. You see, if the devil can't get you one way, he'll come back another way. Am I right about it? And so the devil tempted him again. He said, Jesus, why don't you throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple? And the devil even quoted scripture there, quoted from Psalm 91. But Jesus put some more book on him, didn't he? Because Jesus said again, it is written, thou shalt not what? Tempt the Lord thy God. Quoting from Deuteronomy, Jesus knew his Bible. And then the last and final time, the devil tempted him again by saying, I'll give you all of this. I give you all of these palaces and all of these majestic and splendid things that you see here if you what? Fall down and worship me. You see, the devil will offer you the whole world, but he doesn't own a grain of sand. I think I better say that again. The devil, young folk, hear me on this. The devil will offer you the whole world, but he doesn't own a grain of sand. You know who owns this world? It's not the devil, but it's God himself. The earth is the Lord's and what? And the fullness thereof. And so Jesus put some more book on him, didn't he? Because Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou. Jesus knew his Bible, and I submit to you tonight that every young man, every young woman, every member of the church ought to know enough of God's word to refute the devil when he's trying to tempt us to go in the wrong direction. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. Jesus defeated that old devil with the word of God. And if you want to be successful in life, you want to survive in this jungle, and not just survive, but thrive in this jungle, God must be number one in your life. Get in the church and stay in the church. Can y'all say amen? Get in the church and stay in the church. Because God does not want some of you. God wants what? All of you. And this is not just for the young folk. This is for some older folk as well. Because I've observed that some folk want to live like this. They got one foot in the world and another one in the church. But I maintain that God is not pleased. You need to get all the way on God's side or all the way on the devil's side. Because Jesus said no man can serve two masters. Jesus said again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? Some of your heart? Most of your heart? No, he said with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. God wants it all or none at all. Amen. Preach on, Brother Robinson.
Yes, sir.
If you want to survive in the jungle and thrive in this jungle, you've got to have a GED. And the G represents God. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
But I want to share something else with you. The E represents education. Is that all right this evening? Education is very important. Amen. Jesus, did you know Jesus was educated? I know that he was fully God, but he was also fully human. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 52, and Jesus grew in what? In wisdom. That means that he grew intellectually. He grew in wisdom and in what? And in stature. That means that he grew physically. Nothing wrong, help me somebody. Nothing wrong, young brother, with keeping yourself fit, keeping yourself in shape. It's good to have big muscles like Brother Jones here, Brother Manzo Jones and Brother Bonner. Help me. So can y'all help me? This is good to be fit. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. I used to be a weightlifter back in the day. That's where I used to be a weightlifter, but now I'm a plate lifter. Y'all don't hear me on this evening. And I'm here that I'm not the only. Oh, yes, on Sunday after I saw some other brothers in that fellowship hall, and I'm not the only plate lifter in here. Amen. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Jesus, the Bible said, grew in wisdom and in stature and in what? And in favor with who? With God. That means that he grew spiritually. And but he was not only in favor with God, but he grew in favor with man. That means he grew so. Let me tell you, don't go around here with a chip on your shoulder wanting to pick a fight with everybody. Learn how to get along with everybody, not just black folk, but white folk, red folk, brown folk, because you never know how God is going to bless you and open up doors in your life. Treat everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, treat everybody right. Jesus, you see, Jesus was well-rounded. Jesus was well. I tell you another thing, brothers and sisters, that the Apostle Paul was a sharp man. He was well-educated, having studied under Gamaliel. Am I right about it? One of the greatest rabbis in Jewish history. And I want you to see, man, that Paul possessed not only biblical knowledge, but he also possessed secular and classical knowledge. On three different occasions, Paul quoted from classical sources. That's right. And I forgot to ask for the board. I would put this on here, but that's all right. In Acts 17, 28, Paul quoted from the hymn of Cleanthes, or Cleanthes' hymn to Zeus. Cleanthes was a pagan author. And you remember that verse that says, it's in him we live and what? And move and have our very being. And then Paul said, even as one of your own what? Own poet. He's quoting from a Greek poet who said that we are also what? Of his offspring. Is that right? He's quoting from a Greek. Paul not only knew his Bible, but he knew other subjects as well. Here's another one. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, read it when you get a chance. You know what the Bible said? Be not deceived. Evil communications, what? Corrupt good morals or good manners. Paul was actually quoting from Meander. Meander's thighs. Meander was a Greek comedian. Paul not only knew his Bible, but he knew other subjects as well. And then in Titus chapter 1 in verse number 12, Paul quotes from Epimenides, who was another pagan philosopher. And in that verse, Titus 1 and verse 12, Paul says that even as one of their own poets has said, the Cretans are always liars and they are brute and glutton. Paul was quoted. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? Paul not only knew his Bible, but Paul knew other subjects as well. What are you saying, Brother Robinson? Young folk, hear me out tonight. It's all right to be sharp. It's all right to be smart. Let me tell you. You see, a lot of times what happens is a lot of our brilliant and bright young people, they try to fit in at school. And they know a lot, and they are sharper than they give themselves off to be. But in order to fit in with their peers, they have to dumb it down. Let me show you something. You don't ever dumb down what God has given you. You have the mind to be a medical doctor, an attorney. You go all the way to the top. Nothing wrong with going to the top as long as you keep God first. Oh, brothers and sisters, oh, are y'all with me tonight? Oh, it's all right to shine. Yes, sir. It's all right to stand out. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. Let them call you nerd if you're blessed to earn a 3.7, a 4.0. Let them call you a nerd.
That's all right, because your nerdy self will be performing their operation. Y'all don't hear me tonight.
Yes,
and brothers and sisters, there's nothing wrong with the church being pro-education. We're pro-God first. Is that all right? But we're also pro-education. Somebody has said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Oh, did y'all not know that this mind that God gave us is an awesome computer? Y'all don't hear me this evening. How many got your computers with you tonight? Hold your computers up. Hold your computers up, if you don't mind. All right, I'm not. Okay, all right. Okay, hold them high. Come on, y'all. See y'all. Don't be ashamed. Computers, not a songbook now. Okay, all right. Let me show you something. Did you not know the mind, this brain between your ears is the most impressive computer on the face of the earth? It's not the iPad. It's the mind. And I want to challenge our young folk tonight and everybody in the audience to put some good stuff in your mind. Oh, man, if y'all don't mind, can I testify just a little bit here this evening? I remember when I got to the point in my PhD program at Mississippi State University, it was time for written exams. And one of my questions my professor gave me was to list 100 sources pertaining to the Jacksonian era. That's 1825 to around 1850. He had to list and annotate 100 sources pertaining to the Jacksonian era. But let me show you something. God gave me a computer up here. I listed around 106, 107, 108, 109. And at the end of that exam, he said, "That's one of the best exams that I've read in a mighty long time." I'm not bragging on me. I'm just bragging on God to show you, man, you got an awesome computer right here. Just use it, man. And it's amazing what you can do. Oh, y'all don't hear me tonight. You see, what's in your head is more important than what's on your head. Too many of our young folk got caught up in the styles and stuff. Got to have the zigzag and stuff. My question is not what you got on your head. What do you got in your head? Preach on, Brother Robinson. What you have going in your ears, it's more important than what you have hanging on your ears. Everybody wants to be cute these days. The issue is not the earrings and stuff, man. I'm not knocking that per se, but what do you have going in your ears? Y'all don't hear me tonight. You see, what you write on a piece of paper is more important than the tattoos you got scribbled on your arm. Not saying that's wrong. But what I'm saying, but can you write on a piece of, can you write a complete sentence? Preach on, Brother Robinson. Amen. You see, if you want to survive in this jungle, you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared. Someone has said it's better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than to have an opportunity and what? And not be prepared. Nothing, man, is more sad than to have a door of opportunity open before you. And you can walk through the door, but you didn't take the time to prepare. It's worth it, young folk. It's worth it. Go as far as you can. Is that all right tonight? You know, and that's why, you know, I started out with this rap song, because I believe it has elements and nuggets of truth. Because he's describing folk who are stuck in the jungle. They can't get out. He says, broken glass everywhere. People messing on the stairs. You know they just don't care. And listen, he said, I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out. I guess I got no choice. You see, when you have no money, you have limited choices. Help me, somebody. You don't have a good education, you can't get a good job. You don't have a good job, you don't have a good income. And when you don't have a good income, you have limited choices. Don't limit yourself, young folk. Go as far as you can, man. Because, and I tell you something else. The sky is the limit. How many of y'all believe that today? The sky is the limit today. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, take a look at that black family in the White House. Oh, yes, I know a lot of his critics and enemies give him the blues, but I'm here to tell you, he's in the house. And he earned his way into the house. When you prepare yourself, all kinds of doors will open up for you. Oh, y'all don't hear me tonight. Oh, my goodness gracious. You see, years ago, black folks had limited opportunities. It was against the law for blacks to learn how to read in many states. The problem I see today, you see, yesterday, our people had the desire, but they didn't have the opportunity. Now we got all kinds of opportunities. And the problem with some of our young, I didn't say all, some of our young folk, they don't have the desire. The desire. What happened to it? I tell you what happened to some of us. Some of us as parents are at fault. We spoiled our children, giving them everything. Help me, somebody. And they don't know anything about hard work. Preach on, Brother Robinson, how to earn stuff for themselves. Don't you know it's a mean world out there? That world will eat you up and chew you up and spit you out. Man, you better be prepared. Learn how to stand on your own. Everybody needs help to get started. But what I'm trying to show you, man, it's so important to be prepared. And parents, stop bailing your children out of every difficulty. Sometimes they got to learn how to swim for themselves. Preach on, Brother Robinson. Amen. Brother Jones said it's youth night. I'm coming down this road. Let me tell you something. We have youth Sunday every fourth Sunday. That's one of my favorite Sundays because that's my opportunity to inspire and encourage, build up. I like to talk up the young folk, but I also like to challenge them because I'm telling you, in a lot of our congregations, the next Barack Obama is sitting right in some of our congregations. The next Oprah Winfrey is sitting in some of our congregations, and we don't want to talk them down. We want to do all we can to what? Talk them up, because a lot of young folk don't even believe in themselves. They can't even see the opportunities they have out there. And being in education, I see young folk throwing away opportunities every day. Throwing away opportunities every day, and there's nothing wrong. Here's what I'm saying: there's nothing wrong with earning an education. Whatever you do, don't leave God. How to survive in the jungle, you got to have a GED. You got to have God. You got to have an education. And I'll tell you one other thing you need to have. You need to have. Are y'all ready for this? You got to have a dream. Is that all right this evening? You got to have a dream. Someone has rightly observed, you cannot have good ideas until you have a lot of dreams. What kind of dreams, Brother Preacher? Well, educational dreams. Is that all right? You know, I knew I wanted to be a minister early in life. I preached my first sermon at age 12. But I wanted to be a different kind of preacher. I wanted to advance educationally, so much so that I could also teach, because I enjoyed breaking things down and helping folk to understand it. But I understood that in order for me to do that, I had to go on beyond high school. And so that's why I'm always thankful for Southwestern Christian College. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that in just a moment, if y'all don't mind. Brothers, you ought to have some dreams, young folk, some educational dreams. Nothing wrong with having marital dreams. Yeah, that's an early dream I had, Brother Bonner. Man, let me tell you, I've always liked girls. Is that all right? Man, since age 4 and 5, man, I like girls. Is that all right? In fact, let me tell you something. When I was around 7 years old, I had 7 girlfriends. 7 girlfriends. Now, hey, oh yeah, I was a bad man. Let me show you something. Now, I claimed them. They didn't claim me. Is that all right? But I knew then that I wanted to be a married Amen. Is that all right tonight? Nothing wrong with that, young folk. And it may take you a little time. Don't rush into that. Let God lead you. Let God bless you. Because we got so much confusion out here today. Some young men wanting to be women and some women wanting to be men. I'm telling you, it's a jungle out there. But you want your dreams to be in sync with God's will. Nothing wrong with having marital dreams. Is that all right tonight? And then there's nothing wrong with having some personal dreams and some financial dreams. One of these days, I pray that I can be retired. Amen. Like Brother Daniels here. Amen. I want to be able to chill out one of these days like Brother Prowl. Is that all right? Amen. Nothing wrong with having those kinds of dreams. But you know, you start early. Man, that's something we don't talk about in the church. Teaching young folk how to manage money early on. You know, you start, you know, age 18, 19, 20 years old, socking away just a small portion of your money by the time you're in a mutual fund. We don't talk about mutual funds and things like that in the church like we ought to. Young brother, you start around 18, 19, 20 years old, socking away a small portion of your income. By the time you're 40, 42, you could have amassed $1 million. Nothing wrong with it. Is that all right? I don't want to be broke. How many of y'all feel the same way? Amen. I've been broke a mighty long time. Amen. Anybody know what it feels like to be broke? No, man, I'm talking about really broke. You ever been so broke you couldn't pay attention? Help me, somebody. You ever been so broke you had to put toilet paper on layaway? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Wait a minute. I know a lot of y'all from the big city, but have you ever been so broke you had to go to KFC to lick other people's fingers? Y'all don't hear what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about broke. But if you want to break out of that cycle, you got to have some dreams. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying tonight. It starts with dreams. Start with dreams. Is that all right? Joseph was a dreamer. Am I right about it? Go with me to Genesis chapter 37. I want you to see this. Genesis 37. I'm almost done here. I'm going to wrap up this evening, if you will. All right. Genesis chapter 37. And around verse number, can you read, Brother Jones, verse 2? And let's look at this, if you will. All right. In Genesis chapter 37, in verse number 2, if you're there, church, or almost there, let me know by saying amen. All right, what does the book say?
These are the generations
These
of Jacob.
These are the generations of Jacob, read on, of Israel.
Joseph. Being 17 years old.
How old was he?
17 years old.
17 years old. He was a teenager. Is that all right? He was a teen. He was a young man. All right, read on. What was he doing?
Was feeding the flock with his brethren.
Now notice, he was 17, but he had a job. Help me, somebody. How many of you learned to work at an early age?
Amen.
Yeah. Man, you know, and I tell you something, work is good for you. Work is good. You know why? You learn that money does not grow on trees. Can you say amen? And you learn how to appreciate things better when you have to work forward. Can you say amen on tonight? Amen. So he was feeding the flock with his brothers. Read on.
And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah.
It was the sons of Bilhah.
And with the sons of Zilpah.
Read on.
His father's wife.
Read on.
And Joseph brought unto his father. Their evil report.
An evil report.
Now Israel loved Joseph.
Now there was some dysfunction in this family. Favoritism. You got to be careful about that, parents. You can turn one child against the other child, and that can prove detrimental to your family. Drop down to verse 5, if you will.
And Joseph had a dream.
How many of you young folk have a dream tonight? You ought to have a dream. And listen to what he did. What does the book say?
And he told it to his brothers. And they hated him yet the more.
There's a good important principle there. When you have a dream, you can't tell your dream to everybody. Am I right about it? Because just because folk are with you doesn't mean that they are for you. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. How many of you know the name Fred D. Gray, civil rights attorney? He and I were on a program together a few years ago, and he told the story that when he was growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, he didn't tell anybody that he wanted to be a lawyer. He didn't tell any of his family members, any of his neighbors, that he wanted to be an attorney. He said the reason why, had he told the white folk that he wanted to be an attorney, they would have told him, no, you belong out in the cotton field. Had he told his own family members, he was afraid that some of them would have said, well, you are not that smart enough to advance that far. And so he had to keep his dream to himself. And the same applies to you and me. Don't tell everybody your business. Turn to your neighbor and say, that ain't your business. Amen. Keep your dream to yourself. Pray about your dream. Work toward your dream. Keep God first, because I serve a God who's able to empower you and help your dreams come true. Can you say amen on tonight? You see, you got to be so careful, because there are so many dream killers out there. Peers can kill your dream. Sometimes parents, without even knowing it, you can kill your children's dreams. Be careful about how you talk to your children. One thing that I always try to implant in my daughters, and that is, you can be anything you want to be. I know that sometimes things get dark, sometimes circumstances can appear to be bleak, but if you keep God first, he's able to make a way. Am I right about it? There's a song that we often sing, if you trust in what, never doubt, he will what? Surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and what? Leave it there. I'm glad to announce to you tonight that there is a way out of this jungle. You don't follow the ways of the world, you follow the ways of Almighty God. Philosophers will tell you, you ought to think your way out. Scientists will tell you, you ought to invent your way out. Legislators will tell you, you ought to legislate your way out. Politicians will tell you, you ought to spin your way out. The rappers will tell you, you ought to boompity boomp your way out. The liquor crowd will tell you, you ought to drink your way out. The tobacco crowd will tell you, you ought to smoke your way out. The dope pushers will tell you, you ought to drug your way out. The psychiatrist would tell you, you ought to talk your way out. The rich and famous will say, you ought to buy your way out. The demonstrators will say, you ought to shout your way out. Satan comes along and says, there is no way out. But I thank God for the voice of Jesus, because I learned to listen to the voice of Jesus a mighty long time ago, when he said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God the Father but by me. I come to tell you tonight, there is a way out, and that way is through Jesus Christ. But you got to submit to him and do his holy and divine will. For Jesus said, why call you me what? Lord, Lord, and what? And do not the things that I say. It's one thing to call on Jesus. It's another thing to shout before Jesus. But it's another thing to do what he says. For the Bible says that he is the author of eternal salvation to all of those who what? Who obey him. Jesus is the way out. How to survive in the jungle? You got to have a GED. You got to have God, got to have an education, and you got to have what? Got to have a dream, got to have a dream, young folk. How many of you young people, can you wave at me tonight? Can you testify you got a dream? Oh, yes, I can see it in your eyes. You got a dream. And if you put God first, young brother, young sister, you can be anything you want to be. Brothers and sisters, I got a testimony, if you don't mind my sharing. When I arrived on the campus of Southwestern Christian College, okay, I had academic deficiencies. Okay. This is why we need HBCUs. You know what I mean by HBCUs? Historically Black colleges and universities. I'm not knocking the other place, Vanderbilt, thank God for those places. But let me show you what a HBCU would do for you, which is what Southwestern Christian College is. I came in at Southwestern behind. I did not know how to put together a complete sentence. All right. You know, I had academic deficiencies. Okay. But let me show you something. It's not where you start. Right. The question is, where are you going? Right. Is that all right? Had academic deficiency. But I tell you what, at Southwestern, I was able
to catch up, and not just catch up, but get ahead. And that gave me a good solid foundation. And I was able to springboard from Southwestern to the master's level and go on and earn the advanced terminal degree. I give God all the credit for that. But God worked through a little bitty school like South. That's why I tell young folk, you know, be careful about who you despise. Be careful about what you despise, because God can use small things to accomplish great things. Can y'all say amen tonight? You see, I spent time in Mississippi. A lot of folk look down on the state of Mississippi, but did you not know some of the most significant folk in this country, in this world, emerged from the state of Mississippi? Can you say amen tonight? I'm talking about folk such as B.B. King, Indianola, Mississippi, Sam Cooke, Clarksdale, Mississippi. Y'all know about that old hound dog, Elvis Presley, Tupelo, Mississippi. Oprah Winfrey, born in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying tonight. Outstanding athletes, Jerry Rice, in the NFL Hall of Fame. Yeah, had his start. Played football at a place called Mississippi Valley State University, which is in Itabena, Mississippi. And Itabena, sure enough, is an itty-bitty place. Yeah, but here's a guy who starred on the gridiron, and the San Francisco 49ers found him, drafted him in the first round, and the rest is history. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter where you start. If you can play, if you can think, if you can write, if you can learn, if you can speak, if you can shine, somebody's going to find you. The issue is where you're going. And by the way, Amanzo Jones is from Mississippi. Is that all right, Brother Jones? Amen. Amen. There's a lot of good folk come from the state of Mississippi. I'm trying to show you, brothers, it doesn't matter where you start. The issue is where you're going. And so when you think about, you know, look at my books, you know, man, that's amazing how far God brought me. Academic works that are used at different universities and have been distributed, not just nationally, but globally. You know, from Stanford to Harvard, and then even Oxford University. I had no idea. No, ma'am, and no, sir, I have never paid to have my books published. They pay me. I don't say that to brag. I'm just trying to show you, young folk, you're looking at somebody here tonight who started out with deficiencies. Yeah, I started out. I mean, I didn't graduate at the top of my class. I graduated near the bottom of my high school class. But I'm trying to show you tonight, it doesn't matter where you start. The issue is where you're going. Quit using excuses. Oh, man, my daddy, he just didn't come through. Oh, my mama, she didn't breastfeed me long. Forget about that. I know you're hurt, but you make sure you don't treat your children the way you were treated. Move on with your life. Can you say amen tonight? Oh, I'm trying to help somebody. Trying to help somebody. One more testimony here. I'm going to show you how God can work. Young folk, be careful about decisions you make. I remember, show you how God works. You can never do wrong and get by. 16 years old, and after football practice one day, some friends and I went to Pizza Hut, and they had the all-you-can-eat. And we went in and we ate all we could eat and then slipped out without paying for it. Walked down the road, down the highway, bragging about what we had done. But let me show you something about God. It came time for me to get a job. And I went and applied to different places and applied at Pizza Hut. The only place that called me back was Pizza Hut. They hired me as a delivery driver.
And when I first started, I said, man, this is a cool job. I just go and deliver pizzas and come back, collect money and come back. This is an easy job. But then the manager, Jackie, told me, Ed, you see all those dishes back there? You're responsible for those too. I said, oh, man. And one night while I was there, you know, in wee hours of the night on a Saturday morning, washing those dishes, it occurred to me that God was teaching me a valuable lesson, and that lesson is you always reap what you sow. And you always reap more than you sow. Pizza Hut got all of their money back out of me. And that's why to this day when I pass by a Pizza Hut, oh, it dawns on me, thank you, Lord. I learned the valuable, you can never do wrong and get by. That's why I treat everybody right. When you go to these jobs, perform your job well, because you never know. You might have to go back to that same job one of these days. And you know what? I worked that thing. And when I would come home from Southwestern, guess what? All I had to do is show up. They said, come on, Ed. Sign some papers. Put me to work. And that was a blessing. That became a blessing. But I made a mistake. Young folk, I'm not ashamed to admit I made some mistakes. Let me just say this. Brothers and sisters, those of us who are older, we got to be real with our young folk. Quit going around here posing as if we've never made mistakes. That's what turns a lot of young folk off. Be real with a man. Hey, I made some bad decisions. That's why, young brother, I'm concerned about you. I don't want you going down this path, because I know what could have happened to me. And if that happened to me, it can happen to you. Young people, keep God first. Keep how to survive in the jungle. You got to have a GED. There's a young person here tonight who has not said yes to the Lord. We want to invite you to come tonight by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and allow the Lord to add you to his church, to add you to his family. Why don't you come tonight? If you need prayer, you're going through some storms and struggles in your life. A lot of young people who are on the verge of graduating from high school and college sometimes stand at the fork of the road needing guidance and wisdom. We can pray for you tonight, because there's power in prayer. God can lead you. Yes, he can. God can lead you in the way that he wants you to go. If you know you need to come, you know you need to respond, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We're going to ask you to stand. Everybody to stand at this time. If you need somebody to walk with you, ask the person next to you. If you need me to come get you, just raise your hand. I'll come and get you and walk with you. Because this is the most important decision you ever make in your life. When with the Savior we enter glory land, want it wonderful there, will and end it the troubles and cares of story land, want it wonderful there, will and want it wonderful there, will having no burdens to bear, oh and joyously singing with heart bare. Will that be one? Oh, want it wonderful there, will and walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? Yes, and praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One. Won't it wonderful there? Yes, and won't it be wonderful there? Yes, having no burdens to bear. Oh, and joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Will and there where the tempest will never be sweeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Yes, and sure that forever.
forever the Lord will be keeping us. Won't it be wonderful there? Everybody say, won't it be wonderful there? Yes, and having no burdens to bear. Oh, and joyously singing.
What about you, young man? Young lady, why don't you come this evening?
Won't it be wonderful there? Yes, and won't it be wonderful there? Yes, and having no burdens to bear. Oh, and joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful?